I know that God will bless you this morning in Jesus' name. He will answer all your prayers and he will bless you for the year. I want to thank you for coming. My first appreciation go to you. And I want to thank the pastorate, the deacon and the elders and everybody in the house. I want to thank our choir. God bless you and the media people. You are not clapping. I just appreciated you. Amen. Mom, I want to thank you for last week's message. How many of us did remember the message? Eh? Some people are lifting up two hands. Some people are not even lifting up any hand. I want to thank you for that message. It was an awesome one. She gave an analogy of the brain. You know? Yes, sometimes when people speak by the Spirit, it comes with so much power and force, you know, that the brain tells you where to go, you know. As she was saying it, I was imagining myself driving from my home up until it tells you where to park. Just those white substance. Wow. That's just a token of the message. Please get our messages. Get the messages. They are not expensive. Listen to them. Get them on your phones. Listen to them again and again. Faith comes by what? By hearing. And hearing, there are so many things we contend with in this life. So many. Have you seen a meat? Just meat. It has no contact with anything. Just put it somewhere. The meat will start decaying until you put salt. If you keep adding salt, it will preserve the meat. But if you don't put anything, it will just start decaying. That's a picture of your heart. Yes. If you don't keep on hearing the word of God, amen, you will be going down the drain. Yes. Even subconsciously, you may not know. You think all is well. Just like Samson, when the lock was already off, he said, "I will arise as at other times." Meanwhile, the power was no longer with him. But he felt he still had the power. Praise the Lord. He said, "I will arise like as at other times." And he did it. There was no power. Amen. So these things help to preserve you. When you listen to the word of God again, you know, and again and again, and you study for yourself as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. I don't even know. We'll have a topic as the message comes on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. I want you to picture and imagine. I want to build on what Mama has said, you know, in a measure. Now, I want you to picture and imagine man that God has put on the earth. Praise the Lord. Yes. I want you to picture it. That's why I say we should sing that song. He came for us and he's going to come again. Amen. He came for man in the first instance and he's also going to come for the second time. Then you now begin to ask yourself, what is it about man? Praise the Lord. Who is really man? You know, yes. You know, okay, you can see your brother, you can see me, we can see ourselves. But who is really man? The man that God put on the earth. Genesis 1:26. It says, "Let us make man."
Okay. Verse 26 says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let us make man in our image.
Yes. I want you to have this picture in your heart, the image. Let us make man in our image and let us make him in our likeness. God is the God that hides himself. Praise the Lord. Yes. That's why the church, the entire church age, he said that even the church, he calls us the hidden ones because the world does not understand us. That's why he told the disciple when he was going that, the world does not understand you because they did not understand him as well. Amen. God is a God that hides himself. The Bible said in Proverbs that it is the glory of kings to do what? To conceal a matter. Yes, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, the glory of kings to search it out. God conceal it, then kings, they search it out. Even in the heavens, we've said it several times that there are some of those angelic beings that does not see God. Amen. Yes, you have about the heaven. Not everybody in heaven, not all the creation in heaven sees God. Amen. Yes, for now, waiting for an appointed time, I'll show us. Not all of them sees God. That's why they say the cherubim, they have about six wings, two cover their faces, two cover their body, and two they cover their feet. Amen. Praise the Lord. So are we following what I'm saying? Are we following what I'm saying? That God is the one that what? Is the one that hides himself. So what God did when he created, in the first creation, when God created the entire universe, he just, what he did was to put a reflection of himself. That's Romans 1, say that the invisible qualities of him, Romans 1, please can you open it? I'm going to show us scriptures to establish some things before going to the heart of the message. Romans 1, verse 18. Alright, keep 18, 19, 20. His qualities. That means his person is what? Is invisible. Right? Is that what is in your Bible? That the person of God is what? Is invisible. It cannot be seen. Yes. Okay. Continue. So you can see that the creation, everything God made, his entire creation, he revealed his what?
He reveals his person.
That's his eternal power and his Godhead. We'll talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity. That the things that God cannot be seen. And God has not been seen. So when he created the first world, God gave a reflection of himself. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's like reflecting your image in a mirror. So everything that God was creating, he was reflecting his image, who he is. That's why I say God is a God, the one that hides himself. You know, the Bible says he covered himself with light. I won't show us all of those scriptures there in the Bible. He covered himself with light. Praise the Lord. So when God unveiled the first creation that you could see in Genesis, gave an account of creation, what God was doing in that creation, he was reflecting his image. So at the head of that creation is one creation that is different and separate from every other creation, and which is man. That's why I say, let us now make man in our image. And what? In our likeness. And let him govern the entire earth. So when God made man, he brought out a reflection and a semblance of himself for the entire creation to see, and even for the angelic world to see, even for angels. So when God brought out that creation, and God gave him authority, God gave him dominion, God gave him power, and God now asked the entire creation to worship that man. Yes. One of the very life and essence of even a creation of man is for man to even receive worship from the earth. That's why I say he should rule the sea, rule the land, rule everywhere. So creation was designed to worship God, man. Then why man now takes the worship and then man worships God? Praise the Lord. Yeah, then man now gives the worship to God. That's the picture of it to have when God brought Jesus Christ. Say, whoever honors the Son, honors the Father. Whoever worships the Son, worship the Father. That's why if you say that after the 1,000 years, that's in the end. When Jesus comes, take the saints, and he reigns for 1,000 years, the Son, Jesus himself, will now hand over the kingdom, hand over everything back to the Father. So, but God's ordination for the man that God was creating, amen, was for the entire creation to worship that man, and that man, in turn, now worships God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, when you were hearing that message on last week Sunday, you know, talking about you being original, please, I beg you, get that message. Amen. Get that message. You know, there are some things you will know. There are some things we know that your life will be different. Yes. There are things you will know that will put you on the high pedestal of life. Yes. That will make you to ride on the highways of life. Amen. So that man that God created, I told her was reflecting God's image. He was reflecting God's person on the earth. So it was when that man now failed, that the first Adam failed, we now had an occasion to have the second Adam. Yes, that's why if you look at the Hebrews 1, Adam was the figure. The Bible said in Romans 5 that Adam was the figure of him that was to come. Then if you now look at Romans 1, when the first man failed, then God now brought the second man to see fulfill his original intent why he created man. Praise the Lord. So if you look at Hebrews 1 verse 3, please, I want you to call it up, that the Son, he became superior to angels, right? It's okay, stop there. So when he brought Christ, even as he came in weakness, the Bible says he was even made lower than the angels, so that he could suffer death. So now, I told us, where the first man failed, God now brought the second man to bring the rest of mankind into the same destiny that he has ordained for man. So when he brought in the second man, he said he was superior to angels. Then he also said that let all angels do what? So both the created things on earth and even the things that are created in heaven were ordained to worship what? Was to worship man. Because if you look at who Jesus is, the Bible said in Ephesians 5:30, we are members of his body. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of what? Of his bones. We share the same destiny. The Bible says we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Revelation 3 says that to him that overcome, that Jesus talking to them, I will make him to sit with me where? On my throne. You know, because I am seated together with the Father on his throne. Now, we will be seated together with Jesus on the throne. I know that all the angels, they bow before the throne. So Jesus is sitting on the throne. Maybe next to him, one seat beside him, you are sitting down. So when the angels bow before the throne, who are they bowing to? Eh? Who are they bowing to? Jesus is seated on the throne. Please call up Revelation 3, 18 to 20. So that it will not look as if I'm speaking grammar. I know some of you don't read their Bible. Yes, I know. So, okay. Revelation 3. Okay. Go to 20. 19. Move to 19. Okay. Where would they sit? Okay. Praise the Lord. Yes. So if I want us to, we are going back to the very beginning. You know, it will now help us to understand the New Testament and even to understand religion itself. He said that to him that overcome, will I grant to sit with me on my throne, just like I overcame and I sat with the Father on his throne. So we are going to share one throne with Christ. That is the overcomers, the ones that are born again, and the ones that have walked the faith life. We are going to be sitting together with him on the throne. So when God created man in the first place, I told you God was reflecting his image. So in creation, God reflected his image. Then his face has not even still been seen. That's why he told Moses. Even Moses did not see God. Hope you are aware. Yes, he did not see God. Even when he said, "We see my speak face to face," when you go back, Jesus said, "No man has seen the Father." 1 John 4:12 says, "No one has seen God." Then in John 6:46, Jesus said, "No man has seen the Father." Even that's why I say you see my back part. That's why Isaiah said, "The day that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." He had a vision. He said, "I speak to Moses face to face," but God did not unveil his face to Moses. You know, he saw in a figure. Yes, he saw in a figure. So no man has seen God. No man has ever seen God. It's only Christ that has seen him. Let me show you those scriptures. So that John chapter 1, I told you Moses did not even see him. So that was the closest person that could have seen him. John chapter 1 verse 18. Please, who is speaking in that place? Who is speaking in the book of John? Who is speaking? Who is speaking? Is it Paul, Peter, James, Moses, Elijah? It's Jesus that is speaking. Okay, look at verse 18. He said, "No one, including Moses." Okay. God made man on earth, but no man has not seen his face. Praise him. That's why I say, in creation, he just reflected the image of that face. So those that see the images assume that they have seen God. Okay. Go to John. This is one. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter is established. I'm going to show us four. John chapter 6, verse 46. Wow. Okay. Please. Okay. Okay. "No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father." That Jesus Christ speaking. He said the same thing again. Who is in the bosom. John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but God." No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, that is himself, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. And there's a place in Timothy again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. I hope I'm correct. So that was Jesus testifying. This is John the Beloved. The one that leans his head on Jesus' breast. The one that wrote the book of Revelation. Hear his own testimony again. Okay. There's another place in Timothy. That will be the last one. Okay. Sorry. I'll open it now. I said I'll show us four. So are we now on the same page? Are we together? Okay. Okay. Okay, I've shown you the testimony of Jesus. I've shown you the testimony of John. And I want to show you the testimony of Paul. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. He was talking about, he lives in a light that no one can approach. The psalmist says, "You covered yourself with light as with a garment." Okay. What did he say? No one has what? Maybe Pastor Dowdo has seen him. Okay. Paul wrote that last of all, he was seen by me. I told him when he speaks, yes, let's say seeing God, maybe it's in level as in faces, I don't know. But God has never fully been unveiled to man. Even Paul said that last of all, he was seen by me. He wrote it. When he was talking about the apostles, that last of all, he was seen by me, the last apostle to see Christ. Well, look at what Paul said, that no man has seen him. That is the privilege and the honor that God has reserved for his sons. Yes. I told you in creation, in angels, I don't want to use the word all. Yes. Because there are some angels they call the angels of his face. Even the face that they tell us that the angels are seen, cannot say what they are seen. The Bible says the things that are written, he said the secret things belongs to God. And the things that are written belongs to God. There are secret things yet. That's why the things about God, they call it mystery. A mystery, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of this, the mystery of iniquity. Mystery means things that are kept hidden. Praise the Lord. So even if what the account we are reading in the Bible is also qualified, all these things are qualified. So in creation, God reflected his image. In redemption, God gave us the hope of seeing his face. We have not seen him. So what we have in redemption is the hope of seeing him. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. For what? For they will see God. Right? He said, Hebrews said, without holiness, no man, the hope we are running with that one day we are going to behold him. The hope of seeing God. Go to Revelation 21. I don't know, I can't make you understand who man is, but I'll just try and say some things and trust God. You give us light, you give us understanding. Then I'll now come and bring it to how we can live a victorious life. Revelation 21. Okay. Sorry, I'm coming. Okay, it's 22. Sorry, it's 22. Verse 22 from 1 to 3. 1 to 4. Then, what did he say? Everybody is not echoing it. What did he say? Okay. So, I said in creation. What did I say in creation? God reflected what? God reflected his image and asked all creation to worship the image. Yes. I'll now show you now the Antichrist. Now, if you don't understand this message, I'll now see the Antichrist carry the same truth that is meant for us. Eh? The same truth that is meant for us, that parable of the sower, the seed that fell by the wayside, because they did not understand it, Satan came and stole it. Right? The Antichrist now took the same truth and now began running with it. Yes, and he prospered exceedingly. Praise the Lord. God put his image on the earth and he commanded everybody to, I said this was a reflection of his person, and commanded the entire creation to worship his image, to honor his image. And I'll bring it on, in 10 minutes, I'll bring it to explain Christianity explicitly. Yes. Okay. Now look at what the Antichrist did. Okay. I talked about the image and I talked about worship. Image worship. Look at what the Antichrist did. Revelation 13. Are we there? I'm going to read so that I can skip some places. From verse 1. You see, and the dragon stood on the seashore. The dragon is Satan. You are going to see three people there. You are going to see the dragon. You are going to see the first beast. And you are going to see the second beast. The dragon is the Satan. The first beast is the Antichrist. We know all of us have heard about the Antichrist is going to come. When the Antichrist comes, he's going to have a false prophet. He's going to have a false prophet that is beside him, and that's the one that will do miracles and wonders, you know, and the world will be convinced. Yes, he will do miracles that have not even been seen, even in the days that the Messiah walked on the earth. But there is one miracle he cannot do. Praise the Lord. He's going to do notable miracles, big, and all of those things. You know, just like the serpent, Moses. Moses casted his rod. The Egyptian casted their rod and became a serpent. Moses would do one, they would do one, but there were ones that Moses did that they could not do. Jesus was able to bring Lazarus from the dead. The Antichrist will not have that power to raise the dead. Outside of that, every other thing he will do it. So he's going to have Satan. You are going to have Satan is the dragon. He was serpent in Revelation, but he has eaten so much, he has become serpent in Genesis, right? He was still a small boy then. You know, but over the ages, he has grown. You know, he feed on dust. He has eaten so much men. Yes, and so much destiny of men that he has grown and matured to the stature of a dragon. So he has acquired weight and stature by reason of work. And that work we are talking about truncating men's destiny. You know, yes, truncating and truncating. So it's adding stature and strength. That's how he acquired the stature of a dragon. He was a serpent. You know, you match his land, but he acquired stature. So in Revelation, if he had a serpent in Revelation, it would have been crushed. It was a dragon. Praise the Lord. And I told you he acquired that stature of a dragon by reason of work. Work. What I mean by work? W-A-L-K. By operating on the earth, he has grown, he has matured. Because Jesus himself, the Bible says Jesus grew well in stature and in wisdom. So he was serpent in Genesis and dragon in Revelation. So now we have the dragon, which is the Satan. We have the first beast, which is the Antichrist. Then the Antichrist, which is like the way Christ came, the Antichrist is going to be the man of sin. He's going to be the direct representation of Satan on earth. Satan coming as a man. That's the meaning of Antichrist. Just like God became a man in Christ, Satan becoming a man in a man. That is the meaning of Antichrist. You know, they call him the man of sin. The fullness of sin. So, and he's going to have a false prophet. And that false prophet is going to do so many miracles. Yes. I'm sure maybe the saints will not even have power to do miracles at the time that he's going to come. Okay. So I've given the example. So I'm going to read now. Revelation 13. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. And I saw a beast coming out of the earth. He had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horn, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon, Satan, gave the beast his power, his throne, and great authority. Just like the Father gave Jesus his throne, he gave him authority. This is my beloved Son, I give you all power in heaven has been given to me. Then he now translated that power and he gave it to men who are made in the image and in the similitude of God. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Jesus Christ, God gave him his seat. That's why I say, I sit with my Father on his throne. God gave him his seat. He gave him his throne. So Jesus sits on the heavenly throne of the Father. He had all power and all authority was given to him. He now carried that power and now translated it to his own similitude and to his own image. Yes. To his own image and to his own similitude. That's why I say that if you have done this to the least of this, my brethren, you have done. Okay, so that's the same thing the Antichrist is doing. So I'm sure you understand as you read. He said, the dragon, I'm reading verse 2 now, the dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the head of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. No, the whole world followed the Antichrist. They followed the beast. Man worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. They also worshipped the beast, the Antichrist. If you worship the Father, worship the Son. They also worshipped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can make war with him? It's a man. Don't think about God. It's a man. That's why I say it's an Antichrist, a man that is going to come. Verse 5. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. Verse 7. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. So don't be surprised if they are killing believers. He was given power. Verse 7. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation all over the whole world. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. All those whose name have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. All religion will be harmonized together, including Christianity. That's the other side of the Christian faith. Those that does not have the real gospel. It is only a believer that will resist his government. I'm going to jump now to verse 11. Okay, let me read it. Verse 9. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with a sword he will be killed. This calls for patience, endurance, and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Let's all understand the times we are living in now. Verse 11. This is, I saw another beast. Now, you've seen the Antichrist. This is another beast. This is the first prophet I see it. Coming out of the earth. He's going to come from amongst men. That's the word earth. He's going to come from amongst men. Coming out of the earth, he had 2 horns like a lamb. Yeah, he's going to come like a lamb. Like Jesus came like a lamb. The Lamb of God is so humble, so meek, you know, and all of those things. But inside of him is another person that is living there. He had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Praise the Lord. You know, you speak the one who is inside. He's going to come like a lamb, but the dragon is inside. Satan is inside. He's going to be so meek and so humble, and people are going to after him. People are going to believe in him. Amen. Say, these are even better than a so-called Christian. Which kind of religion is this? And all of the, you know, you look at them, this is much more authentic than even this one. And all. He's going to come like a lion. He's going to come like a lamb. That's why I say, beware of false prophet. They are going to come in sheep's clothing. Sheep's clothing, sheep, the lamb. But inwardly, what? They are ravening wolves. Amen. I say, you speak the one who is inside. That's why I say, he spoke like a dragon. You speak the one who is inside out of the abundance of the heart. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. So you don't just speak words. Don't forget, you don't just speak words. You speak the one who is inside. Praise the Lord. That's why when Peter spoke, Jesus said, get behind you who? Satan. Because he spoke the one who was inside at that point in time. It was Satan. Okay. He had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Verse 12. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in fulfillment of all men. Yes, you still are the fire to come. And, okay, because of this, look at it, they say, because of the signs He was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in the honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword. And they set up an image. That image is not a statue. It's not those in Habali's house. I told you that image is... Okay, continue reading. Let me read. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast. In the first, when God formed the dust of the earth, what did God do to the dust? When God created, formed the dust, or when he put the dust of the earth together, what did God did? He breathed into that man, and the man became a living soul. Okay, let me read it again. He was given, verse 15, he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that he could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. Can you see worship the image? Look at Revelation 19:20. One scripture there, then one scripture in Revelation 20. Revelation 19:20. Please, media. After that one, you're going to call up Revelation 20, verse 4. Revelation 19:20. Verse 20. The beast was captured. You know, I told you the second beast was the first prophet. The beast is the Antichrist. And with him was captured the first prophet. Okay, it's okay. The two of them, he said, he delighted them that received the mark and worshipped his image. Can you see image and worship? Look at Revelation 20 verse 4. Amen, praise the Lord. So, the digression I took to the book of Revelation was to show us that if we don't get this message well, Satan understands it. And that's why even the operations of the end time, you know, that's why the operations of the end time is going to be patterned even in this same light and in this same understanding when he said that everybody will worship the image of the beast. Yes. Everybody, I told you that the Satan has an Antichrist. Antichrist has a false prophet. And he's going to set up an image. Men will worship that image. He gave the power to the image to speak. When God made his image on the earth, he said that all creation and everything was to worship that image. So if you insult that image that God put on earth, if you insult that image, you insult God. Because God put his, not just that, because man is a living temple for God. What God did when he created man was to create, what God did in essence was to create a living temple for himself. God lives inside man. That is how, that's why Jesus told them, when you swear by the temple, you are not only swearing by the temple, you are swearing by him that lives inside the temple. That is Matthew 5. That's why I say you swear by the altar, you also swear by this gift on the altar. If you swear by the temple, you also swear by him that lives inside the temple. So man is a living temple that carries a living God. So anything you do to that man, it is in essence you are doing it to God. That's why Moses said, you are not murmuring against us, you murmur against God. Are you hearing me? So now, if you now see that the essence of creation, why God created man, so many, but I'm just trying to bring out something very little for us to see so that we can understand the human race on it. That's why every religion you do, whatever religion you do that overlook the human race, you are wasting your time. When you overlook humanity, look at the parable in Luke 10, the parable of the Samaritan. A man was wounded. They say a certain man. His identity was not known. His religion was not even known. Not his tribe. Not, he said a man. It was a man. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sure I want to tell you why some people even die. I'm telling you. Why some people don't even make it and prosper in life. When God made the man, he made a fiery, it was a fiery being that he put on the earth. And God was not going to joke with him. When man delayed, he came for him the first time and he's going to come for him the second time. If he needs to come the third time, he will come. If he needs to come the fourth time for man, he will come for the man that he has created. He said a certain man was traveling. That man was traveling, he fell into robbers. He fell into robbers, they wounded him and left him there. He said the priest was passing. He was running to the temple. The priest was passing, he saw him, and the Bible said he went on. The priest. The second person that came, the Levite. The Levite saw that man. He took his face and he went the other way, he left him. The Bible said now a certain Samaritan, he was nameless. The man himself that was wounded was nameless. The Samaritan was nameless. He came, he said, when he saw him, he said the man had compassion on him. He took him to an inn. He paid for him. The man broke his journey. I don't know how urgent the journey was. The Bible says he slept there on the following day when he was leaving. He slept with the man. On the following day when he was leaving, he brought that money and he gave it to the keeper of the inn. I'm not going to open it because of time. Keep it. It's Luke 10:30 to 37. He said he brought that money and he gave it to the man. He said, take care of him that I will come back. I will come back again. Whatsoever you have spent more, I will give it to you. Jesus gave that teaching when he was giving the teaching of eternal life. You are going to understand it. I'm trying to show you the meaning of eternal life. It's not gim, gim, gim. It's not revelation. It's not man predates the anointing and man predates revelation. The man that God created. Yes, he existed before the anointing. And running after anointing, this and that man of God, all of those things. I say the man, the human race, man as a being, existed before the anointing. He even existed before redemption. He existed before the cross, as important as cross is. Praise the Lord. Man was the reason for the cross. It's mankind that brought the cross. Are you hearing me? So that man, when he saw him, after he did everything, Jesus said, you know, if you look at the man ran to him, what can I do that I may inherit eternal life? He said, oh, go and do this. He said, all these things I have done since my youth. And all of those things. Okay, Jesus now said, no. Verse 25 was teaching about the greatest commandment. Love God and all of those things. That Luke 10:25. The greatest commandment he was teaching them. Then I said that, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Somehow eternal life was mentioned. Then he now said what? The man now said, who is my neighbor? Then Jesus now gave this parable. Look at the priest. A priest and the Levite represent the whole religious community. Represent God's law and commandment on earth. The law that God has institution. The whole religious institution that God has built on earth was represented in those times by the priest and by the prophet. The priest and the Levite, in the temple. The temple. The priest, that is God's house. They were running to serve God and they were overlooking the humanity. God rejected their service. Yes. I mean, they were running to perform religious duty. They were running to God's temple with sacrifice. God said that it was God that told them. Amen. And I told that there are laws and there are higher laws in God. There are laws and there are higher laws. They were running. God said that a priest should not touch a dead body. A Levite, God instituted those laws. But when somebody was wounded and was dying and needed help, you know, and they turned their back and they begin to walk, God rejected them. There's a place in Zechariah. God said, they fasted for 70 years. Zechariah 7. He said, they fasted for 70 years. He said, you fasted for 70 years, you are wasting your time. They fast for the fourth month. They fast. You can write those Bibles down. You want to check it. They fast for the fourth month. They fast for the seventh month. He said, why? Because you have refused to administer justice. You have failed to show mercy and compassion to one another. And because you kept imagining evil against your brother in his heart. God said, for a fast of 70 years, he rejected it. In Zechariah 7, verse 10. Then if you now go to Zechariah chapter 8, the next verse 17. He now said, this is what I want you to do. Yes. He said what? He said, stop imagining evil against your brother in his heart. Yes, against your brother in his heart. You know, show compassion, administer true justice. He said, then the fast of the fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month will be a feast of joy. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, don't forget, you know, I gave all that parable now. Don't forget, Jesus said that when you are bringing your gift and your sacrifice to the altar, and you remember that your brother has something against you, it is you and God standing, but that sacrifice is invalid. If you trample on even men to serve God, God said that even to offer God's gift and sacrifice, God will reject it. Because man is higher in the estimation of God than every other thing. He said, if you bring your gift, that's Matthew 5:22, you can call it up. If you bring your gift to the altar, and there, no matter how costly the gift is, no matter how much God needed that gift, he said, your brother has something like it. He said, lift your gift there, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer that gift, and then I will accept it. What about the story, the forgiveness? He said, when you stand to pray in John 6, he said, if you have anything against your brother, if you don't forgive him, I will not forgive you. There's even a place to give a parable of a man that was forgiven his offense. When God forgave him his offense, he now had a fellow man that owed him something. He was owing God so much he couldn't pay. God forgive him. When God now forgive him, he now went and saw someone that was owing him one small change. He held that man and put that man in prison. He said, the king came and called that man. He said, all the ones that he has forgiven, all the ones that he forgave, he brought it back that you must pay it and put the man back in prison. I don't want to draw any theology from it, but this is what Jesus said. He said, likewise will my father do to you if you don't forgive men from their heart. So even your forgiveness, your redemption is still tied to men. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How did Jesus say that all men will know that you are my disciple? He said, if you love God, if you love God, he said, if you love one another, then the whole world will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, the whole world will know that what? You are my disciple. And there's a message that the church has preached so well, but there's a message they have not preached. That's how I made a statement. I said it conscious that man predates the anointing. We know about giving to the anointing. That's all our offering goes to the anointed. Go to the anointed. But God, some pattern. God does not even use the head, the first. God, the measuring line, the rod that God used to measure things in the kingdom is the least. That's why I say in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will come, he will divide them the left and to the right. The left are the goats, the right are the sheep. He said, when I was naked, Abby, he said, those are the ones that went into paradise. He said, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. They say, the righteous say, when did we do it to you? He said, inasmuch as you have done it to my anointed. He said, the least. The one that you will pass by and that you will not see. That is the one he's talking about. If you do it to that one, he said, inasmuch as you have done it to the least. It's so easy now like that to carry clothes and come and give pastor. Yes. To carry something and come and give the man of God. True of us. But God's own formula. That's why I say man. You know, I made that statement deliberately. I know what we are preaching about the anointing. That the man predates the anointing. Yes. That inasmuch as you have done it to the least of this my brethren, you have done it to me. When are we going to hear messages? Myself and the command were praying in my house. You know? And the word, when are we going to hear after you hear the messages? You know? That people are going to go and start distributing their gift to people. Somebody will carry all his wealth and begin to buy and wheelchair for people that does not have wheelchair. What's that? After we hear the message, the only thing we do, but we'll come back and bring the gift. We can even come and buy a jeep and come and give it to the anointed. It's not wrong. But I say there are truths. There are also what? Higher truth. There is one that is higher than even giving to the anointing. Yes. So that's one giving. Giving to anointing and then giving to men. Yes. That also happened in Acts of the Apostles. When they had Jesus Christ taught. When they immediate apostle that left, that came out of his bosom. When they had them taught, when they sold everything that they had, they gave it to the poor. They gave it to their fellow believers. Not even just, they didn't even give it to Peter, James, John. He said, we reversed the order. That's how we can brag and boast that we are so rich. What about the rest of the brethren? If we are one house, if we are one body, how can I be bragging when the rest of humanity are suffering? You don't know that God is crying in heaven? How can you begin to even boast of success in ministry? How? How dare you? How dare you? Jesus did not do it. Paul did not do it. He said, let me even stay. He wanted. He said, I'm okay. Like, the time for my departure has come to go. If I go, it's better for me. But for your sake, let me stay. Do you know where he's staying? He's staying in the fullness of affliction. They were looking for him to behead him. They will stone him from city to city. He said, I will still stay in this thing for the sake of my, for the rest of the brethren. For their sake, he said he will stay. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, because we are so many now, don't even value humanity, don't value mankind. Yes. That's why I say, if you say to your brother, you know, he said you have heard that he that committed murder, Jesus taught something we are not paying attention to. He said if you commit murder, you'll be guilty of judgment. But I say if you are angry with your brother without a cause, you are already standing in judgment. The same one that told you should not commit adultery. It's the same one that told you that you should not be angry with your brother. And once you are angry with your brother, you are standing in judgment. Yes. Shall we take that one, adultery, giddy, big sin. And all, it's that same one that gave you the same commandment. How are you picking between these two commandments? How are you picking? You pick the one that suits you and leave the one that does not suit you. That's what I've done in the church age. A good number of us. The same one, say, if you say to your brother, Reka, you will stand in danger of the council, the Sanhedrin. Yes, like the pastorate. You insult your brother, Reka. He said, but I tell you, whoever shall say to his brother, he said, you fool, will be in danger of hellfire. Hell fire. We know we don't see it. There are things we don't see. To tell you how significant and how important it is. Here you can start insulting any man because the man has stole money. That man predated stealing that money. He said, I mean, too, I'm guilty. God will have mercy on all of us. You know? Yes. I'm talking about man. You know why? So somebody was quoting one scripture that I was going to share here today when I came in. I was taking a Bible study, James chapter 3, verse 9. Please call it up. James chapter 3. It's something about when you are talking about man, don't just look at my name. Don't look at David, look at all of those things. I'll show you one mystery. When God, the day God created man. Yes, you know. Okay, with a tongue, we do what? we bless God. And with the same tongue we do what? We curse men who are what? Who are made in the likeness. You are cursing his likeness. When you curse his likeness, you curse God. Simple equation. Simple equation. Everything is meant to serve man, the man that God has. Even all his angels are meant to serve him. Please call out Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. Angels, they are meant to serve the man that God has put on it. Yes, I want you to see humanity from the heart of God. That's why Jesus, they say, go. He said, go and do likewise. That is the meaning of true religion. Hebrews 1:14. Everything is, that's why I say the Sabbath. Man was not meant to serve the Sabbath. But the Sabbath was made what? Was made for man. What is the Sabbath? Sabbath represents God's law. All God's law was meant to serve man. Amen. He said, are not angel ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit what? Eternal. They are sent to, they are servant. They are servant of salvation. Yes. They are servant of the grace of life, and we are the ultimate beneficiary of that grace. You see, all his angels are servant of these things. And that's why when he brought Jesus as a man, he said, let all his angels worship that man. Because in the day that God created man, man was ordained to receive worship on his behalf. Man accepts worship for God, and he passes that worship to God. That's the worship Satan wanted to corner. Yes, you know, Satan, not just God, he said, I will be like the stars. You know, I will ascend above the stars. You know, our own status, what Satan was contending with. Not even, okay, no. He was contending with the status that God has elevated for his son, Christ. And by extension, us. The destiny that God has ordained for us was what Satan was looking for. And God casted him down from heaven. We don't understand these things. The destiny that God has made for man. You know, yes, I will elevate my throne above the stars of God. Above the stars, you know. I will harness all those worship to myself. Man, take the worship and pass it on to the Father. Do like Jesus, take all the worship of the all the worship now and pass it on to the Father. That is the man that God puts on the earth. Yes, and you, if you are married, that is the person you have a privilege and a honor to be married to. All of those your complaints, all of those things, you have to be careful. Yes, maybe you did not sweep floor. We are talking about sweeping floor. Put this vis-a-vis these things that we are talking about. This is awesome. This is an awesome. This is an eternal truth. I showed you how the Antichrist is running with that truth. Image. Worship. That's who God put on the earth. Yes. He said, if you have seen, that's why Jesus came as a man. If you have seen me a man, you have seen the Father. And that man we're talking about is not this ear. It's not this nose. Listen to what I'm going to say next. In the day that God created man, God hid the flesh. The flesh was not seen. The flesh was not visible. God covered man with his glory. The spirit man was out. The spirit was visible. The glory of God covered man. The flesh, the body. You couldn't see my height. You can't know, okay, I'm this foot tall. You can't see my fingernails and all that. In the day that God created man, the physical man in heaven, the flesh was hidden. And the spirit was out. The glory of God covered the man. So when man now seen, the spirit died. He said, the day you will die, the glory departed and the flesh became visible. And they now saw that they were naked. They were not seeing that nakedness in the first place. Because the flesh was covered. God covered the flesh when he created man in Genesis. So when I say God made man in his image, is it my ear, my nose, and all of it? No, those are not the image you are talking about. In his likeness, in his capacity. We are talking about his eternal power and his Godhead. That's why Mama was talking about the brain. He tells you where to park. Man, you drove from Ado. You know you are coming to here. He didn't go to so many cities you could have gone to. You know you are going to come here. If you brought a car, you know exactly where you are going to park. You know where you're going to sit down. You're going to listen to this man. You assimilate it. Let us make man in our image. Man has the eternal capacity that God has. He said, now man should rule the air. Man, okay, we can. He said, we are going to develop aeroplane. If you allow mankind, we are using just 1% of our brain. If you allow mankind, literally, we are going to be floating inside the air. We have that capacity inside of us. Capacity without end. That is the man that God put on the earth. Yes. That's why I say, let us make man now at our image. God created. Say, God say, let there be. God created things in general. Man can create. Create. Right now, we can carry a man and turn him to a woman. That's what we call transgender. That is the superior, that's the power that we have. You know why they are using it for Satan. But that is the power, that is the potential that man. If you allow man small time and put their hand, it will grow back again. It's just a question of time because we are not using maximally the brain that we have been given. Let us make, that is the image. So now after the fall, I say the spirit hides. Now even after we are now born again, what happened? God now reverts the order. God now hides the spirit. Now you can see the flesh. But the spirit man is there. They call it the hidden man of the heart. That's why St. Paul said, though the outward man perish, but there's an inner man. So God has not hidden the spirit. God has hidden the inner man. And look at that. You can now see the outer man. Because of the fall. Because of the fall. Even when he that is in Christ is a new creation. You are a new person in Christ. You have a new spirit. You have a new identity. You are a new human being totally and entirely. It's an entire being that God created on the cross. In redemption. But God hid that man. That man cannot be saved. That's why when you see David, look at me and all of those things, you know, this is, you know, but you know that there's a higher capacity, somebody, a being that is inside. So when I lie down lifeless, I'm still going to be up. That's why I say that John Hagin now say our last breath here, our last breath on earth is our first breath in heaven. When we close our eyes to this world, we are going to open it to another world in heaven. Praise the Lord. So now look at it now. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, what did he do? That man that was inside, when he was talking with Elijah and Moses, he was not going to talk to them in this body. So he allowed that man that was inside come out. And when the apostles saw him, you know, they were giving, even if you are there, you will not see that man. But God allowed them to see it. Because they are going to be a testimony, they are going to witness to us. God allowed them to see that man they saw. They could have seen Jesus Christ talking, they will not see anybody. But when Jesus wanted to talk to them, Jesus relapsed into his inner being. He spoke from them, from that his inner person. That is identity he had inside. That's why I say his raiment was changed. White as wool. That's who we are. If God is supposed to unveil the flesh, you'll be seen white. The world will not be able to relate with us. They will not be able to talk with us. That's why God covered that being in this weakness, this flesh. That's why I say he was crucified. He was crucified in weakness. Yet he lives by the power of God. God covers so much power with weakness. That's the meaning of this flesh. So right now I say the order is changed. The spirit man is hidden. Now you can see the flesh. In the day God created man, the flesh was hidden, it was covered, and the spirit was out. That's why I say that the glory of God, they just use the word the glory. What can they use to describe it? They just say the glory. That's why I say I saw light. Even when he saw the Father in heaven, he couldn't describe him. I saw him that lived forever and ever. He just saw life. When John the beloved in the book of Revelation, he saw Father. He said, I saw Christ. I could recognize Christ. I recognized the four living creatures. I could recognize the beast. And I saw another person, I can't know him, but I saw one that sees him that liveth forever and ever. He saw life, abundance of life. Praise the Lord. He couldn't describe him. Praise the Lord. So this is the identity of who mankind is. So you look at the person you are seeing and all of those things, you know. That's why, oh my goodness, look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. I want you to get this message well. Nobody can confuse about religion and all of those things. What religion are you practicing? When you can, if I have the opportunity to build school, I'll make it free for people. Yes. Yes. If I have the opportunity to make, I'll make it free for people. Because I understand this thing. I'm not against people that are collecting money. But if you do one that you collect money, do another one that is free. For the rest of you know how people are suffering. I say if you neglect the human race in the course of running to do your religious duty, God will reject it. You get praises on earth, but all of us are going to heaven. God will open all the veils. If you did the least of this, my brethren, he called it in Mark 9. Before I go to that revelation, he said, whoever welcome one of these little ones in my name receives me. Who, you know, receives me. He said, whoever even causes one of these, I told you God's principle is the least. He used the least. That's why in Zechariah, he said, the least of them will be like David. He said, among the least of them, there was no one that was free. When he brought out Israel from Egypt, among the least of them, there was no one weak. He said, among the least of them, there was no one weak among the tribes. Among the feeble, there was no feeble person amongst them. Then he said, the least of them will be like David. That's why he used the principle of the least. If you do it to the least of these, my brethren, that's why when they had him speak, when they had the apostles speak, they sold everything to others and distributed for they gave it to the common people. They gave it to the, if it's us today, pastor, do you know what we'll do? We'll have a bank account. Peter will have been so rich and will have been bragging. Yes, because they dropped it at the feet of the apostle. They did not drop it at the feet of those people. They gave the 100 million to the apostle. When they gave it to the apostle, they gave it to the people. But if it's us today now, they drop it at the apostle, don't forget at the feet of the apostle. But these men understood something. When they carry all of those things, they distributed it back to the people. Many people that are not paying school fees, you are bragging. Your parishioner are under you. Have you made inquiry? Have you taken the list of all the people that cannot feed in one of your parishioners that cannot feed? Don't care whether you have 5,000 branches all over the whole world, whether you are the biggest and all of those things. Have you found that the number of parishioners under you that cannot feed? Those are the things that God will bring before you. So what are you boasting about? I told you that they will have paid it to their account. Simple. Because they sold it and brought cash. People will not carry that volume of money. They will just drop it in their account. And it stays in your account. If you understood that if you are a man of God and all of God is blessing, David said he understood that God has elevated his throne for the sake of Israel, God's people. Yeah, God elevated him because of his people. When that God has even elevated you because of the common parishioners in Okitikukwa, ideology, you will trace them to that place. And you will not be bragging. This is true religion. Before you open that, I'm still going to open it. Before you open that scripture, what scripture did I call? 1 John. Before you open 1 John, go to James chapter 1:27. I'm telling us how you can break through, how you can prosper this year. Yes. How you can prosper this year. Anything you want to do for God, you say that, okay. James 1:27. Let's see the definition. What is pure religion? All right. Religion that God approves and accepts. Okay. So the ones that wrote the Bible for us. This is James. They call him the head of the church then. When they had those councils, he's the one that sits on the head. This is the religion that God will accept. Who has NIV to read for me? Any other translation? This is the religion that God accepts. It doesn't matter whether that orphan is run by Jehovah's Witness or Muslims. It's men that are there. Okay. Another scripture, Matthew chapter 5. I'm still coming to that John. I'm going to end my message there. Yes. Just relax. I'm rounding up. I'm going to end my message there. John chapter 5. Read from verse 44. Matthew chapter 5, 44 to 48. Let's define this religion and put the right block at where the right block is supposed to be. Okay. That's Jesus Christ speaking. All right. Love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who use and persecute you. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. He makes his son to rise on the evil. Yes, evil and good. Okay. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Sorry, before you continue, the son represents Christ. They call him the son of righteousness. The spirit, water and emotion represent the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know there are blessings that are reserved for children, but there are blessings that generate blessings for all mankind, because man is made in the image and in the likeness of God. That is who man is. Man existed before sin, before his sin that brought him to where the man predates the sin of man. He may not predate sin, but he predates the sin of man, and even predates sin itself, because the Bible says we have been in him before the foundation of the world was laid. Continue. Be you perfect. What is God's perfection? Both the good and the evil. He makes his sun to shine on them. He makes his rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. You know why? Because man is made what? Because man is what? Man is made in his image and in his likeness. I'll close with 1 John chapter 3. I don't know what you feel when you see the destiny of man on earth. When you see humanity, what do you see? You see men dying every day. Over the sea, running from their country. You see, there are war in their country, they are running, they are dying. You see people they call it IDP, internally displaced persons camp. They are hungry, they are thirsty, they are naked. How can you be in one small corner of your place and you are celebrating? You don't know the destiny of man on earth. He came and he will come again. Jesus saw, a woman had a vision of Jesus Christ in this book, Divine Revelation of Heaven. God and the Divine Revelation of Hell, made the backstab. Jesus took that woman to hell for 40 days. And was showing that people in hell, even showed that some people that were lit when he lived on earth. He said, when Jesus was showing him those people in heaven, he said, Jesus started crying. He said, the time is set. There's nothing more I can do. If not, I will do it. People in hell. He was crying. Jesus took the woman to hell and was showing that people in hell. Mary Baxter, in the late 70s. They were crying. They were crying that he should come and help them, save them. He said the judgment is already fixed, because after death comes judgment. He said judgment is already fixed. There is nothing I can do. Standing beside that woman, Jesus started crying, and some of them started seeing the ignorance. They started insulting him, but he was still crying. He told the woman, "There is nothing I could do again. If there is something I will do, I will still do it. I will do it." All right, please. Entire scripture. 1 John chapter 1 verse 11. Chapter 3, from verse 11. This is the message from the beginning that we should do what? All right. See, we are passed from death to life. We know the assurance that we are passed from death to life because we love one another. We love the brethren. See, anyone that does not love remains in death. He loves his brother. He didn't say God. He didn't say God. He did not love his brother. He remains in death. If you are holding someone in your heart, I want you to start releasing the person so that I can get the full weight of the. There's a blessing in this meeting. So that I can get this blessedness and run the rest of your life. A victorious life. Okay. Verse 15 now. Well, who is he? According to this word, who did they define as a murderer? This word. Not according to the Bible. According to this word system, who do we say is a murderer? The person that kills. What did the Bible say is who is a murderer? Who does he hate? He that hates his brother and sister, as far as heaven is concerned, is a murderer. You can see why so many prayers are not answered. Yes. It doesn't matter what he did, but so long as that hatred appears in your heart. The Bible says, until iniquity was found in his heart. We don't know what caused iniquity to come there. We were not told why iniquity came to the heart of Satan, whether it was justly or unjustly or not, but the thing that iniquity appeared in his heart. Hatred appeared. Maybe it's your uncle that took your father's property and refused to train you in school. You have now grown, you are now an adult. You have had the message of the cross. Jesus is the one that tells you to forgive. Jesus is higher than the offense that the person has committed. The one who tells you to forgive is higher than the offense that has been committed against you. He said you should forgive for his name's sake. And now you are holding that thing. He said you are a murderer. I said no murder, no matter. He said you are tongue talking, devil chasing. Abi, spirit feed, devil chasing. You only deceiving yourself. If you hate your brother, you are a murderer. So the entire Christianity that God has put on earth was designed to serve man. The church. And that's how they exemplified it in Acts of the Apostles. You could see their power. The Bible says everyone, they understood this message. They said no one lied. That's how I know. I was thanking my brother Adikinologu last Sunday. I said, please, let's do this in often, even every quarter, because this is the gospel. You know, yes, make distribution to everybody. This is the gospel. When they made distribution, they gave everybody, and the Bible said the power of God came. I even learned in some places people even drop their gift, their car, and they will sell it and pay it back to the church account. Strange things we do, you know, all in the name of this anointing. That's why I demystify the anointing. I told her that a man predates what? The anointing. Mankind predates what? Redemption. That any religion that overlooks man and God will reject it. That's why I told her that one thing the Pharisees needed, they knew the law. They knew the interpretation of the law. You can even understand the gospel of grace. You can even interpret the gospel of grace and may not understand the intent and the purpose of the gospel of grace. They had the law, they could interpret the law, but they never knew that the intention of the law and the purpose of the law was meant to serve man. Man is not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Have you not heard what David did when he was hungry? And the people that were with him, how they went into the temple, they took the bread that was meant for the priest alone to eat. David ate it and gave it to the man that was with him. Have you not known? Have you not understood? I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Because this is the very intent and the heart of God, all God's law on earth was meant to serve man. You should understand that the church age, that God ordained the church, he said, love your one another, that all men will know you are my disciple. The essence of it is meant to serve man. We are not preaching the human race. We are preaching God in human race. God lives inside that temple. That is God's house. So when you insult a man, I say you insult God. When you disguise someone that is ugly, those of you that you know who is ugly and who is not ugly, I tell you that the day that God created the flesh, God hid it. He doesn't want the flesh to be seen. Now you can see the flesh. You can describe somebody as this, as that, and all of those things. You don't know what you are heaping on yourself. Yes, I mean physically. Because God hid the physical nature. He doesn't want it to be seen. And even up to now, that's why I say the just shall live and walk by faith. You understand David by faith. You relate with David by faith. You comprehend the things I do by faith. Not by looking on my physical appearance. Yeah, he said the flesh counts for nothing. The word that I speak to you, their word, their spirit, their life. He said the flesh, the letter kills, but the spirit imparts life. This is the age and the dispensation of the spirit. God does not even expect us to see the flesh. That's why so many people have missed it out. I know one lady said, I know this is God's will for me to marry, but I don't like him. I don't like him. Somebody came and said, I should pray for that sister. I said, I'm not praying for her. Case closed. She told me, this is the man that, the man is not tall, he's short, he's fat. He said, I don't like him. You know, and all of those things. Because God can put his packages. God can put his precious packages in any vessel. He might put in a vessel that you don't even like. God does not expect you to see the flesh. Because he hid the day he created man. And when he now crossed over to the age of redemption, when we are now alive in Christ, we are meant to see the Spirit, we are meant to relate after the Spirit. The Bible says the first Adam was a life, he was a quickening soul, but the last Adam was a life-giving spirit, as we have bore the image of the first Adam flesh. And so we bear the image of the second Adam spirit, as is the heavenly. So also they, we that are heavenly, we are life-giving spirit, we are spirit. God has said unto us, be spirit. God has said unto us, relate spirit, not the natural and the carnal. Rise on your feet. Begin to worship and honor your Father. What an awesome God you serve. Who you know who you are. All creation worship. Haven't you known that even now that man has fallen? If a lion sees a man, the first thing the lion does, it will run. It will run, then it will now turn back to attack the man. Because that thing is inside all creation. Even the serpent see you. Even the serpent, it has poison. When the serpent see you, it will first of all try to run. But when it may be cornered, it will now try to bite you. Elk, even that horn and that worship, even in the fall, you can even see the semblance of that horn and that worship. What God has created man to take on earth. This is who mankind is. This is who you are having a privilege. Those of you that are married, what a big honor. God carried that man, that being, and gave it to him. He said, this is yours. This is one of the most precious gifts that God can give to any woman. That woman that you have, that husband that you have, is a precious, precious eternal gift. That's why I say honor, honor. That's why I say I speak between them. It's like a mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. When it talks about marriage and all of those things, can you begin to worship your Father and I begin to exalt him? Can you begin to thank him? Yes. I've showed you forgiveness. I've showed you about sacrifice. Man, man, God will reject your sacrifice. So that about forgiveness. God will say, you will not even take your forgiveness. I've told us about love. This is the love that God has said from the beginning. Love one another. Begin to appreciate him. Begin to exalt your Father in this understanding, in this life. In this life, I want you to see man, the destiny of man on earth. I want you to see his destiny. Don't listen to him. Listen to God, the one that has created him. What is God saying about him? Don't listen to what he's saying. Don't even see what he's doing. God does not expect you to see what he's doing. God expects you to see what he is doing. The Bible says, fix your eyes. Fix your eyes. Pray, are you still praying? The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author. Look at Jesus. Look at what he's saying. Don't look at what men are saying. Don't look at what men are doing. Their identity still remains. They are made in the image and in the similitude of God. Let us make man in our image. He told Pharaoh, let my son go. Let my son go. That he will worship me. God made man to worship him. While all other creation, angel and creation, while all them they worship the man that he has put on earth. When God brought his first son into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. This is the meaning of religion. Go out there and love your fellow man. Go out there and look at the plight of the human race. If you are a governor and you have this understanding, you cannot see money. What is the money compared to this glorious light? This destiny, what is money? What can money give you? What can money give you? What can you even set it on fire? You will set it on fire. Look at that body. You will set it on fire. He said, he that is in honor and that does not know is like a beast. Beast that perishes.